In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't even know where to begin. There's so much explosive audio. Micah Parsons yesterday. Bobby gathered that as our Cowboys insider. Ford sent at the Star in Frisco. Jerry Jones being asked yesterday about the Biden comparisons. Deion as head coach. Shannon Sharp taking a blowtorch to this entire locker room. We have a Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway. We have the junk drawer. We have everything for you. Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. I guess we should start with a little preview about the game. Let's go inside the film room.
Yes, and before we take a look specifically at the film, let's take a look at the ref crew really quick for this week. Trey Blake. This is about as positive of a referee assignment as the Cowboys have gotten all year.
Let me ask you this question. With all these referee previews, mm-hmm. have you found that, like, it's mattered?
It has. Yeah, the trends that we found in there have applied to the games. Like when we've talked about they call a certain penalty or they do this or that, it has ended up mattering. Now, the Houston game was one where we said it generally, there's not one that he calls more that benefits them or anything else. It's pretty down the middle. There were a lot of penalties in the game, more than he had really thrown all year, but it was still balanced for the most part. They were getting called at a balanced rate. This one is going to be positive for them because they're getting one of the stingiest penalty crews in the NFL this week with Trey Blake. They don't call hardly anything. If you look at where they're at relative to the rest of the NFL, there's no penalties that they're near the top of the league in calling. Their raw penalty total is down near the bottom third of the league. The only thing that is really substantial where you see, oh, that's different from a lot of the trends and it's different from being a down the middle thing is they call on average a lot more penalties against the home team than they do against the road team. So, if you're Dallas, that's a good thing this week. You're on the road in Washington. That would be a positive. But Trey Blake's crew really does not call anything at a high rate across the rest of the league. They're middle of the pack or lower on every penalty, essentially. So it should be a cleaner game, you would hope. All right, so Washington. We always hear about, you know, Cliff Kingsbury comes back, and we talked about how there's a lot of air raid influence and, you know, the different, is there McVay to some of this? Is there Kyle Shanahan to some of this? What are they doing that's different? I'll tell you, the offense that it looks like to me is Green Bay. Like, it looks a lot more like what LaFleur likes to do. Generally, it's going to be, you know, a lot more from pistol formation than a lot of other teams. It's the run style. It's the run design. It's the way that they set up their splits on offense. Those sort of things are all very similar to the way that Green Bay does things. So it still looks very Cliff Kingsbury air raid type, but it's not nearly as pure as it's been in the past for Cliff. There's definitely some influences, some things he learned while he had stepped away, and I don't know if that's influence from Lincoln Riley or if that's influence from just his own study of trends across the league. There is a wild bit of research out there, and Cliff Kingsbury, I think, was actually asked about this yesterday. A post went viral this week showing EPA per play, which is expected points added, and every single year that Cliff has been in the NFL, his team's EPA per play has steadily risen and peaked in October, and then November on just bottoms out the rest of the way.
Oh.
And so the thought process from a lot of people is Cliff comes out with a plan, Cliff attacks, defenses adjust, teams adjust, and he does nothing to respond to it. And that trend has started again this year, where he hasn't done a whole lot to adjust to what the rest of the NFL is trying to do to them. They've tried to take away a little bit more of what Jaden Daniels wants to do. They've started trying to stack the box a little bit more. Now, one of the really fascinating things about Washington is they are the second most frequently stacked box team for the run in terms of defenses stacking the box against them. Number one is Dallas, or light boxes, I mean, sorry.
A light box. They're
a light box. Dallas is the highest light box rate in the NFL because nobody respects the run game from them. If you look at the other teams in the top 10 of light box rate, Washington is the only one with a positive expected points added, which tells you they're setting up formations that are just giving them favorable numbers, and then they're able to run out of it. The other teams, they don't respect you. They try to stack the box against other teams. A Philadelphia, Baltimore, they're saying, we don't care if you stack the box against us. We're going to load up. We're going to run it. We do it this way. Cliff gets the advantage because of the way that he just sets things up with formation, causes the defense to have to account for different things, and they naturally get lighter boxes, and that they're able to take advantage of it. Brian Robinson's really good for them. Austin Ekeler, it feels like, has kind of found the fountain of youth. They've obviously been able to
Brian Robinson, I love him.
He's so good, and he's tough.
He's like, I'm glad you said that. He is like James Conner light to me right now.
Yes, literally a little lighter.
I love James Conner. Yeah. He'd be on the Al-Sharif team.
This is, by the way, really quickly, I'm going to turn this around so you can see it. This is that chart that I was telling you was going viral. Those peaks are all October of the season for Cliff Kingsbury, and they nosedive every single year.
Wow.
Every single year? That's every year that he's been in the NFL. And so defenses adjust typically. Yes. And so, look, this is November here. You've started to see some struggles. I think the last 2 weeks are the worst offensive weeks for Washington in terms of their EPA per play and different things. Jaden Daniels has been good. I do think Cliff deserves a lot of credit for putting him in a position to succeed. Like, you watch a lot of what he's trying to do schematically. Where Jaden deserves a ton of credit is he's so poised. There's not a lot of mistakes. He sees everything. He recognizes where danger is. He avoids it, and he takes advantage of things. He takes calculated risks. It's not consistent, but he'll find his spots to take risk, and he usually benefits from it. So I think that this is going to be a really difficult week for Dallas to stop the run. They've been better in recent weeks, it felt like, just responding to the run game, playing better, a little bit more solid defensively. There's not as many busts. They're in better position. They've played a lot more quarters coverage recently with their defensive scheme, which we talked about this with Kevin Smith on Cowboys Crosstalk the other day.
Well,
when you're just dropping into quarters coverage, there's a lot less communication. There's a lot less disguise that you're doing, and you're just telling guys to, hey, just focus on doing your job. And I think that's where Zimmer's adjusted a little bit, as he realizes, hey, we're trying to do some different things here, but let's not confuse things too much, especially with all the injuries we've had where guys are getting swapped out, because that's causing confusion and communication issues, and it's been a big issue for us.
Man, Jaden Daniels has not thrown for 210 in his last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I lost two of them.
He has not thrown for 210 yards, and he's not thrown for three touchdowns all season, but he's thrown for one touchdown in the last 2 weeks as well.
So, like, I think that it's... We're seeing this in the league that when you're like a mobile quarterback, your ability to play immediately goes up because you do have that added element to your game to where, hey, look, I mean, you can break somebody in and then they also know that if it's not there, they just run. But I do think that it stunts your growth a little bit. Whereas if you're a pure pocket passer, you come in and you may struggle early on and then you start to figure it out.
Well, and there's also, like McCarthy mentioned it at 6:30, the college influences have become so common across the NFL that a lot of times, I think that's one of the explanations you hear from people around the league of why quarterbacks come to the league better prepared to play, is because the learning curve's not as sharp. You're running concepts that existed for you in college. There's not there's the college game, and then there's the pro-style offense, and you got to learn a whole new system. You got to do these different things.
They've also screwed it up because Brady has talked about this. They're not prepared to play. They're prepared to play, They're more prepared to play, but they're also less prepared to play from the standpoint of they don't teach them how to play the position anymore. They teach them how to play a system.
Sure, and I mean, like, you see young quarterbacks struggle with scheme adjustments. Like, as teams tend to adjust to whatever you're doing, yeah, they struggle with that. That's why Stroud is so impressive. Stroud's really good at, like, reacting to what defenses are doing to him. His biggest area, we talked about it last week, was the ability to sense pressure and how to move in the pocket. But Stroud is really advanced in terms of being able to get through his progressions, get through his reads, read the defense, know what they're doing in front of him. But Jaden Daniels has done a decent job of that. One of the things that was really interesting to me, I heard Brian reference this week, and I was like, I'm going to look out for that when I go in there. 10 touchdown passes this year for Jaden Daniels. How many of those do you think have been inside the pocket?
10 touchdowns? Inside the pocket?
Yep.
3-0.
10. He hasn't thrown a single pass for a touchdown that's been on a rollout,
wow,
or a busted play or anything else. It's all been inside the pocket this year for him.
Wow.
Which, that's where he kind of finds some success. So typically if he starts moving, he's not one of these guys. You don't see a lot of this anyway. You don't see a lot of Jaden Daniels getting on the move or trying to salvage a busted play. When a play busts, that's when he's just going. Like, he's going to run. He's not using it typically.
Hmm.
Like, where Lamar has a lot of, like, advantages is Lamar will step up in the pocket. He'll run around. He's just, and he's still got his eyes downfield. He's looking for something.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, then he goes. But Jaden Daniels, it feels like a lot of times, if he starts using his legs, Jaden Daniels is just going to use his legs, and he's not looking for any benefit in the passing game. But that's what they do offensively. Defensively, they've got to run the ball this week.
Cowboys?
Yes, they have no choice. Like, and that's not anything to say that Washington's secondary is really great. They're playing Noah Igbinoghene full-time snaps right now in the nickel. That's not awesome.
Wow, I don't think that's good. He could run back a blocked punt, though.
Yeah, he can do that. If it's tossed to him, wasn't it tossed to him, or did he scoop it up? I can't remember. But he is, it is one of those things defensively where Washington is just so porous on the edges. Like, they don't do a really good job containing the edge.
The Fowler and Armstrong?
Fowler and Armstrong are upfield players. Like, in fact, that was one of Armstrong's biggest issues a lot of times here in Dallas, was that he was really bad against the run. They tackle well. They're really good tacklers, but it's just not just those edges. I mean, Washington's defense tackles really well. The problem is just that they do a really poor job of keeping the edge, flowing the defense the right way. There's occasionally some over-pursuit stuff. It is definitely a Dan Quinn defense in terms of its hair on fire, its, you know, form, technique, teach tape type of tackling. But overall, you look at Washington's defense and you just say, the way to take advantage of them is going to be in the run game, because they have a lot of the same issues at times that Dallas had stopping the run when Dan Quinn was here.
I thought it was Hearts on Fire, the song.
It's Hair on Fire. That's what that was.
I think this game is going to be one of the earliest ending games of the day.
Well, it's a noon, so at 3 o'clock, it's over.
Yeah, like, it's, I think this thing's going to go by fast. That's going to be my game time prediction.
And my prediction is that it will be Washington on the other side that's screaming, it's only 3:15, because I think that this is going to be a difficult day for Dallas.
Well, let's save it for 8 o'clock.
I'm not going to give you the score. I'm just saying, I do think that...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He loved blowing up teases.
I did not. I just said
I did not. I'm going to tell you they're the ones celebrating after, but I'm not telling you anything. I'm going to not give it away my pick. Yeah. They're the ones that are going to be really happy at 3:15.
Sorry. I guess you guys should expect that a 10.5-point underdog that's lost 5 straight games, I might have picked them. No, this is just...
It'll be close.
This will be something where if Dallas has got to commit to the run. Again, this is another week where we're saying the same thing. I feel like this feels like a game Trey Lance should play if you really wanted to win, which maybe, honestly, maybe you don't want to totally. Maybe you want some of the natural tanking a little bit. But if you really want to make things difficult on Washington, I think they'd have a ton of trouble if you were out there running read option stuff with Trey Lance.
Okay.
So that's Washington, and that's Dallas.
There it is. That is Bobby Belt inside the film room here on DFW Sports Station. We have a Tolo ticket giveaway for Justin Timberlake coming up. Oh, my goodness. There's so much that happened. Micah Parsons yesterday was... talking inside the locker room.
Yeah, he had a lot to say yesterday. And he was glowing. He was excited. He couldn't wait to talk to everybody. In fact, I thought it was... we should start with...
I got all the audio lined up. I just wanted you to set the scene for...
He normally gets set up outside the locker room. He gets posted up in front of one of those official Cowboys backdrops. He did it in front of his locker room first. And I don't know, did you see the video at all?
No.
He's literally standing with his arm on the locker sideways, like he's just kind of like, this is really casual and light. And then in the middle of it, he goes, all right, we're still talking. Let me sit down. And then he like sits down about 6 minutes in, but he gave a good 12 minutes.
What were you going to start
with the media? I was going to start with, I pulled them in chronological order, but I was going to start with 10 because it was just kind of the, okay. Hey, nice to see us with the media again.
Did you miss us?
Oh, man, did y'all miss me? I think it's the other way around. I give y'all all y'all feed. Y'all need me.
Don't confuse us with Rex Ryan.
Nah. Yeah. I see y'all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all should blow up a little bit more. Right. I'm trying to get y'all Twitter pay. Y'all Twitter premium?
There you go. See?
Well, that's you.
All right, three things in that. Number one, I forgot that Micah had not talked to the media after the last two games.
Yeah.
Has he been doing it during the week, though?
Or no, he did not do it last week.
Has he been fined yet or just warned?
A lot of times we won't get those publicly, but you typically get fined.
So three things. Number one, I've forgotten that he had boycotted the media. Number two, I like that Clarence Hill did that. I think that's important. Clarence saying, don't get us confused with Rex Ryan, okay? Because I think that's what happens a ton. And the local people get punished for it, and it's not right. It's not right. David Moore, Clarence Hill, Ed Werder, a lot of different people. They're not going out, you know. They're not going out there and creating these buzz headlines. Todd Archer, John Machota. It's the First Take shows, but that's what these guys pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these guys fall victim to. That's the trap they fall into. So you're going to punish all the local beat reporters? They're not doing anything. It's these whores on television. It's these click whores, these headline whores that Mark Cuban would call them. So I'm glad that Clarence said that. And the third thing is Micah is correct. He is giving all of us a ton of content. So I want to give Micah his props, remind everyone he hasn't been speaking, and remind the players it's not the reporters who are living with you every day at practice and in that locker room. It's First Fake.
But it shows you right up here. He knows. He said, I see y'all stuff. He said, my stuff pops off a little bit more. He knows it. He knows exactly what he gives. And like, I like the line. It's a good line where he says, are y'all Twitter premium? I'm trying to get y'all Twitter paid. I'm trying to get your impressions up. He was sharp yesterday.
So Micah wanted to go back to the Mike McCarthy comments and clarify himself.
Yeah, I should elaborate on that a little bit more. Obviously, when Jory talked about here. So when I'm talking about here, I'm thinking of Dallas Cowboys. I have no reference. I was in middle school or elementary school when Mike McCarthy was at the Packers and other teams like that. So obviously I have no relevance from that. So when I'm talking about here and Dallas Cowboys and what was accomplished the most, you know, I'm thinking about the guys and I only ever been here. So you know, obviously, no disrespect to his career and what he's made for himself as being one of the most winningest coaches, because, you know, I could have just done better. I was angry, and I, you know, I just didn't finish. I wasn't as thoughtful as I usually am, and, you know, I didn't think people would take that context the way it was, so that's on me. I lost, and I didn't want to finish, and I was trying to hurry up out of the locker room, so I next time be very more careful about what I say. So, I, you know, that's my apology.
Wow. Great answer. Yeah. Great audio clip right there.
And you hear his voice. He sounds bright. It's like the 2 weeks away was like good for him, because he sounds much more engaged and brighter and happier. And
Choppy defended him yesterday. Micah defended his comment over saying, you know what? We are a damn good football team.
I think we're playing better. We're not playing great yet, but we're playing better. I think it's night and day, the difference on how that defensive line is playing, how the linebacker playing. People are getting experience. So when I say we're a good team, it's like people don't always look at the growth part. I know we're growing. I know some of these young guys who didn't get the opportunities, they're getting better. Let's look at the film. Let's break it down. Yeah, of course, young guys are still going to make mistakes. That's what learning is. But in terms of how I believe we are and where we're going, by the end of this year, y'all going to say Mike Zimmer didn't have all his pieces, but we sure did put a damn good defense together. And I can take that, because I know we can grow from that.
And man, you know who Micah just served it up for? You know whose McGriddle he salted and walked over with that plate with the towel on his forearm? He served up Jerry Jones a dream comment, because what do you always say, Choppy? Whose fault is it ever?
It's never the player's fault.
Never the player's fault. Why?
Because Jerry picked the players.
Because Jerry picked the players. So what a dream comment for Micah Parsons to say, we got a damn good roster. We got damn good talent. And KMC asked Jerry about that yesterday.
Well, I like that. And
of course you're kidding.
The facts are that he's right. Now, the issue there is that there's 31 other damn good football teams that for whatever the reasons, they all may not have it together, and they all may not be winning the games against other good football teams. But Michael's right, and as a point of emphasis this morning, we have got so much more left in our season, and those games are so important to us. Each one of them are. And it's important that everything we can do to win the individual games. Well, one of the things you do is you recognize that you're a bad play away, you're a mistake away, many times as an individual player, from making the plays or being involved in a situation that can win the game. Now, that's very critical to us, and that's very critical to us that we give ourselves every chance to go up here this weekend and beat that Washington team. And I look at the rest of the schedule that way. So I think Micah is just an expression of, hey, we don't look at it like season, or we don't look at it like playoff. We're looking at it quarter to quarter. And to me, that's what you have to do.
The great Nui Scruggs just hit me up. Micah was not fined. If he missed yesterday, he would have been hit with $25,000. He doesn't get fined for not talking after?
And you probably get like a warning.
Well, plus he did it twice.
But somebody has to report him. Right? Whoever it is. It used to be Shireen.
I mean, pro football writers have to report a lot of times, and they have before, but I'm pretty sure that if the Cowboys impose it themselves, like a lot of times they're self-reporting from the Cowboys.
Did anyone ask? Well, no, it wasn't him. It was Lamb and Diggs who did the video afterwards. Right. The music, I can't keep it straight. Well, Shannon Sharp on his Ocho Cinco podcast went after the music video, the MTV stars.
Everybody talks about winning. But do you take the steps in order to win? How is partying? You got your ass kicked. I would have left the stadium with a bag over my head. Ain't no way y'all seeing me leave the stadium. After I got beat like that, after I've gotten beat like that every game, 47-9, 37-10, 48-32, a yada and a partridge and a pear tree, and you do this, is disrespectful. Yeah. It is disrespectful to the fans that pay their hard-earned money But you know what? It couldn't happen to a better franchise, because all they want to do is run his mouth and talk about what they're going to do. And this team, I've been around Super Bowl teams and this and that. And all they players do, because they take it from the top, they run their mouth, and they ain't one dog crap. None of them.
No, dog. You can
not
say
one.
Now, Choppy, I know you're probably rolling your eyes at that. Does it you think any differently because it's Shannon Sharpe and still kind of in touch with, you know, the guys who are playing today with all his social media stuff and be like, okay, maybe there's something more credible to what they shouldn't be doing in their own time after the game? Or no?
Well, no, I think Shannon's being intellectually dishonest here. Like, I'm sure Shannon went out after a loss.
With like Michelle.
With Michelle. Like, is Shannon telling me that every time that they lost a football game when he was in either Denver or Baltimore, that immediately after he went right home and watched film and got in the tub?
Because fans are loving this audio, and here is part two.
Hey, and they talk about they know what it takes. You don't know what it takes to win, because none of you guys have won. It is disgusting. It's disappointing that these two are your best players. This is what they think. See, it just goes to show you. See, everybody tells you what they think you want to hear. But I see what I need to know. And it tells me everything I need to know. You can't convince me these guys care about winning, because this is not what you do when you want to win. So what's in the club that's going to help you get better? Take your ass home and start the recovery process. This is why I couldn't play in today's time. Because guys, I don't care what they say. Guys, most, a lot, don't care about winning. They like the bag. Yeah. They like what comes along with being an NFL player. You're going to get the baddest women. You're going to get to go to the clubs. You get to move to the front of the line. You get to go all these places. But everything, our brand, my brand, the Cowboys is the brand. Ain't one player on that team got a damn brand, because you ain't won nothing, because you don't care about winning. You ain't got no leadership. That's your number one problem. Who's the leader?
I mean, again, like, I just don't know. Like does Shannon trying to tell me that every time they lost by 21 points or more?
Sounds like he is trying to tell you that.
I think Shannon is being just get off my lawn guy who just conveniently forgets that everything that they would have done back in the day.
Bobby, do you agree with any of this?
You know, he said something there that I was.
Because a lot of people do take what Shannon Sharpe says with more credibility.
Well, they probably take it with credibility, but like, is it real? Like, and you know, like, would the people do the same? Like, if you have a bad day at work, do you just go home and mope, or do you maybe do something to take your mind off it? You know, do you go to dinner? Do you go grab a drink on the way home from a bar, or on the way home from work to the bar?
It did make me think. He said something there that I guess I hadn't thought of this explicitly before, where he says, "Ain't none of y'all won before." And I'm trying to think. I don't think I was just scanning over the roster. Dallas might be one of the only teams in the NFL that doesn't have a player on it that's won a Super Bowl. I'm not even sure that there's somebody that's been to a Super Bowl looking over this roster.
A little research project that ML Football can steal from.
Cooks would have gone to one, but Cooks didn't win because Cooks was in New England in 2017. But otherwise, you're talking about, I don't think there's a single guy on here that's. So all of your Super Bowls come from your coaching staff. It's McCarthy, it's Zimmer, it's those guys.
Is Cooks playing this week?
That's where it's hopefully trending. He's been limited in practice. The guy who it's looking less likely for is Zach Martin.
Final one from Shannon before we hook you up with Timberlake tickets.
Ain't no way. That's what you get. They got no leaders, Ocho. That is the problem that the Cowboys have. They're devoid of leaders. They're devoid of leadership, top to bottom. The owner isn't a leader. He thinks because he's worth $16 billion. He thinks because he has a TV show. He's the only owner, the only GM that really has a TV show. He thinks that makes him a leader. Mm-hmm. Little does he know, they don't pay him no attention. Mike McCarthy's not a leader because they know he's been emasculated from the day he arrived. All he is a coach in title. He has no powers. He's Batman without his belt. What the F could Batman do without that belt?
So there you go. Shannon.
Weird analogy.
That's great. On with Ocho, destroying and blasting the Dallas Cowboys locker room.